Blog Talk Radio.
Radio back for our second show after our long break. Okay, music's working better today. I've had to blow the cobwebs out of it. Today we are talking about the Synod of Sutri Part 2. Now, What was the Synod of Sutri, and who called it? The man who called it was the Holy Roman Emperor and German King Henry III. He called it because of a pope who was doing things sort of what is going on today. It was called and opened December 20th, 1046, in the hill town of Sutri, at the edge of the Duchy of Rome. The chronicles of the Synod are the words of Henry. Henry, most victorious king by the grace of God, when he arrived at the city of Sutri, he called the Roman clergy along with the Pope Gregory to meet with him. He ordered a special synod to be held in the Holy Church of Sutri, and there, lawfully and canonically, he sat in judgment upon Bishop John of Sabina, called Sylvester, the archpriest John, called Gregory, and the aforementioned Pope Benedict. Now the first council was called to resolve the disorder over the papacy. A faction in the church encouraged Henry III to intervene, both to resolve the conflict and receive his crown from the Pope. In the official ceremony where all the Holy Roman Empire emperors were crowned by the Pope. Rome was in a state of warfare between noble factions, each of whom had a candidate they regarded as the Pope. A Pope presided at St. Peter's, another at the Lateran Basilica, in the third at St. Mary Major's Basilica. Two of them, Benedict IX, a scion of the Counts of Tusculum, and Sylvester III of the Cresini clan, represented rival factions of the Roman nobility. The claim of the third, Gregory VI, was a particular in that he had purchased the title in good faith from Benedict IX, 2 years previous. Each claimant had a number of supporters in the Roman Church and held a portion of the city. Henry was met by Gregory at Piacenza and was received with honor. It was decided that a synod should meet at Soltri, some 40 kilometers north of Rome, well beyond the city's factional violence. Before the assembly, Gregory testified that he had, in all good faith and simplicity, purchased the papacy from Benedict IX in 1044. After the departure of Benedict, the Bishop of Sabina had also declared himself Pope as Sylvester III in 1045. In 1045, Benedict, not having received his payoff, returned to Rome and renewed his claim to the papacy. The council summoned the three pontiffs, and both Sylvester and Gregory attended. The claims of the three popes were quickly dismissed. Sylvester was stripped of his sacerdotal rank and exiled to the monastery. Gregory reigned. His words were recorded as, "I, Gregory, bishop, servant of the servants of God, do hereby adjudge myself removed from the pontificate of the Holy Roman Church because of the enormous error which by Simonical impurity has crept into and violated my election." And the council ended on December 23rd. A form of the council was repeated in Rome by the following day to oversee the dismissal of Benedict. The papacy declared to be sedi vacante. On December 24th and 25th, Henry returned first to the powerful Adalbert, Archbishop of Bremen, who refused the dangerous honor. Henry's next choice for the papacy was his personal confessor, Soldier, Bishop of his recently created see at Bamberg. Soldier became the new pope, taking the title Clement II, but insisting on retaining the see of Bamberg, which was the source of financial support beyond the reach of Roman factions. He was immediately enthroned on Christmas Day. As his first pontifical act, Clement II placed the imperial crown upon his benefactor and the queen consort Agnes, daughter of William V, Duke of Aquitaine. The new emperor received from the Romans and the Pope the title and diadem of the Roman Patricius, a dignity with antecedents in the late empire, which since the 10th century had been assured to confer the right to nominate the pontiff. Within a few decades, the Gregorian reforms would call this custom into question. Benedict would again renew his claim to the papacy in 1047 when Clement II died. Now, why is there need for a second synod of Sutri? We have seen and heard all the heretical statements by none other of Jorge Bergoglio and his supporters denouncing church teaching regarding same homosexual things, restoring those in sinful relationships to be able to receive Holy Communion and not have to do penance and leave the life of sin. Also, how they're protecting sexual predators. One of the most biggest sexual predators, the former cardinal and still Archbishop Theodore McCarrick. It It was Cardinal Wuerl who called a new bishop of the Salina, Kansas Diocese, to take him to the monastery of the Capuchin Friars in Victoria, Kansas, which is steps away from the grade school. And further down the road is the middle school and high school. Then even further down the road is the college town of Hays, Kansas. And they just recently redid the airport to be able to take larger aircraft. Then Jorge Bergoglio accepts the resignation of Cardinal Wuerl, but leaves him on as a diocese administrator. Which means what? Which means he resigned, but yet he still has the same job he still has until a new bishop can be appointed, which goes through him. We have Jorge Bergoglio at his masses at the Angelus audiences praying for the church that the church be protected from rigid Christians. Who are these rigid Christians? They are you and me, who still hold true to the church fathers and doctors of the church, to the Catechism of the Council of Trent, to Pope St. Pius V, to Pope St. Pius X, to Blessed Pope Pius IX, and all the councils before Vatican II. Today, Jorge Bergoglio, if you don't know who his actual name is, it's his alias, Pope Francis. Today, he says, what we need to do today is to accompany the church to a profound spiritual renewal. I believe that the Lord is asking for a change in the church. No. No. Our Lord is asking us to remain faithful to Him. Which you and your cronies don't want to do. You want to make everything sinful, heretical, good. You want to make truth and good bad. Isn't it in the book of the prophet Isaiah where he says, good shall become bad, and bad shall become good. Light shall become darkness, and darkness become light. Isn't that what is happening today? And what started from Paul the VI and John the 23rd and the so-called Second Vatican Council? When we allowed the church to be taken over completely by those who destroyed and sent, I guess, millions of souls to hell. Because I can testify that in my catechism studies growing up, sure, we were taught the basic prayers, the sign of the cross, Our Father, Hail Mary, the glory be. But I do not remember once being taught about our Holy Mother. Sure, the night before, the week before, we were to receive our first Holy Communion or confirmation, we'd dive head first into learning about the sacraments for that little bit. But not once did we just fully talk about that stuff. Most of the time it was about yapping about certain stories, drawing pictures, coloring pictures. Not once did we learn about the saints unless we had to choose a confirmation name. Not once did we hear about the writings of the saints and read them in catechism class. It wasn't until the first Fathers of Mercies Lenten retreat where my friend and fellow catechism classmate returned home to do the Lenten mission, while I heard the first sounds of Gregorian chant. Except from when watching Mass on EWTN when Mother Angelica was alive, when they would do the Latin Masses. Now the bishops are showing their true colors as enemies of Christ and enemies of the church. And in the second Synod of Sutri, we can depose heretics. We can depose the sexual predators and those who covered up for them. So what is the Synod of Sutri, or the Second Synod of Sutri, going to be? And who is proposing such an idea? Well, if you're on Twitter and you're a Catholic, most of us follow a group called Veri Catholici. And it is them proposing the Second Synod of Sutri. And they are raising funds for it, slowly but surely. They have 12 donors so far, raised about $500 or euros. Total amount needed is about 5,000 euros. We see Church Militant raising over $90,000 for a priest in hiding because of him defending the faith against the homosexual clergy.
all that is right to do. But that does not solve the problem. Is only part of the solution. Sure, these men who are faithful priests will need funds to live off of to fight their canonical legal battles. Sorry. But here is what very Catholic is proposing. Both the salvation of souls and the protection of children require that the Catholic Church's credibility be not damaged by being governed by men involved in abuse and its cover-up. For that reason, the Church has a right to remove all such corrupt clerics, even the Pope. Now, since no council is superior in authority to the successor of St. Peter, no Pope can be removed from office for being the Pope. However, as regards the man who is Pope, the Church does have the right and obligation to judge whether his claim to the office is valid. The canonical precedent for this occurred in Anno Domini 1046. It was called the Synod of Sutri. They link to another article. Yes, a pope can be deposed. All for the more reason today, since Christ instituted sacred orders to be a ministerial service to all those who believed in his name. On this account, it is by divine institution that there exists a correlative right of the Church to remove from office those men who, on account of their gross corruption or moral depravity, endanger the faithful or pose an existential threat to the credibility of the whole Church in fulfilling her mission of preaching the gospel of salvation to all mankind. The church often does this by penal sanction, such as derogation from office. But she can also do this if the cleric has lost his office by heresy or obtained it illicitly. And as far as Jorge Mario Bergoglio is concerned, there are seven reasons by which his claim to the office of the Pope might not be valid. For this reason, on account of the multitude of events which point to the utter moral corruption of Jorge Mario Bergoglio, very Catholicity, the International Association for the Promotion of the Catholic Faith Against the Errors of Cardinal Kaiser, announces its intention to invite the clergy of Rome to a second Synod of Sutri. For this purpose, we intend to place an advertisement in a major newspaper at Rome, inviting all the clergy of that diocese to a synod, judge whether Bergoglio still has a valid claim to office, or whether he should be deposed for corruption, after the manner of the Synod of Sutri in 1046 AD. To do this, we need to raise about 5,000 euros, which will go
exclusively to the advertisement and rental of the place for the synod. The synod will have canonical effect inasmuch as the clergy of Rome attend and vote no more. To help us achieve this great and holy work, please make a generous donation by going to http://verycatholicwiki.wordpress.com. That is vericatholicwiki.wordpress.com by pressing the PayPal button in the right column. If the synod declares Bergoglio deposed on any account, he refuses to resign or quit the Vatican City territory, we will seek from the Italian government a bill in Parliament recognizing the canonical validity of the declaration and seeking his removal from the Vatican by Italian armed forces on the grounds that he cannot claim the rights accorded to the Apostolic See in the Lateran Pact and subsequent treaties. It goes on. This initiative is motivated by the good of the Church, the salvation of souls, and above all, to defend the divine majesty of the Most Holy Trinity from the now patent malign intentions of Jorge Mario Bergoglio. The canonical precinct is the Synod of Sutri, which precedent has force. From this, that the Code of Canon Law establishes nothing regarding canonical complaints which regard the question of the validity of the claim of the person who is of the Pope to that office. There also being no tribunal established in the code to hear such cases, the jurisdiction of such a right returns by historic and divine right to the clergy of the Diocese of Rome, the clergy of whom would be the judges of the tribunal in such a decision. Hereby, validity of claim, we refer not specifically, to the results of the conclave of 2013, but to the question whether the one who appears to hold office in fact does currently hold it. At the Synod, there will be 7 charges brought up for discussion and vote. On each charge, the accused, through his designated representatives or in person, will be given opportunity to respond. Whether Benedict XVI's resignation only conferred upon the victor of the 2013 conclave, the ministerium notamunus of the Petrine office. For this, if this be the case, Benedict XVI is still the Pope, and Bergoglio is merely his vicar extraordinaire. Whether the St. Galen Mafia or systematic sect, thus not members of the Catholic Church, Canon 194, paragraph 1. For if this is the case, Bergoglio cannot hold any office in the Church. Whether Universus Domini Gregis Number 81 was clearly violated at the 2013 conclave. If this be the case, the College of Cardinals must declare the 2013 conclave unfinished and proceed to the election of a successor to Benedict XVI. Whether the heresies contained in Amoris Laetitiae or in the personal statements denying the existence of a hell for the damned or of the admissibly of capital punishment deprive Bergoglio of the office ipso facto, canon 194, paragraph 1. And if this is the case, Bergoglio, from the moment he perniciously asserted each heresy, lost his membership in the Catholic Church and all offices in it. Whether the corruption manifested by the letter Bishop Vigneault demonstrates sufficiently that Bergoglio is involved in a moral conspiracy against the Catholic Church. If this is the case, he is a schismatic and cannot hold any office in the Church. Whether his request to Chinese Catholic bishops to resign their sees so that they may be filled by those named by the communist government merits him excommunication as a schismatic, not only for violation of precepts of the Apostolic See against lay investor, but on account of its attack on the mystical body of Christ, which by such means would be made subject to heretics and schismatics. If this be the case, he can hold no office in the Church. And finally, whether his personal promotion of the reception of the sacraments by public sinners merit him ipso facto the excommunication latae sensitae imposed by the Council of Trent in session 13, canon 11. If this be the case, he is deprived of every office in the Church. Now, I have linked this entire article, essay, report on the show page. So if certain things didn't sound clear, you can read them for yourself. I ask you to share this report by the very Catholic Key and make a generous donation to help save souls and to help save Holy Mother Church. As you know, when it comes time for important things to be said on Ordo Militaris Radio, the president of Ordo Militaris Catholicus allows me to bring up some Catholic history for you. I was just going over this when the report came out from Veri Catholici about the Second Synod of Sutri. And thankfully for everything crashed on the home computer, I saved what I needed to figure out. That I am the 44th great grandson of the Holy Roman Emperor Henry III of Germany. He called the First Synod of Sutri. And so, I support publicly now, on radio, the call for the Second Synod of Sutri. I know it caused a lot of backlash. By now, I'm kind of used to it. And when we do the show right now,
It is also the feast day of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. For our blessed Lord shown a sacred heart to her in all the devotions and prayers for reparation. I'm going to click the link to go to that. And and let us finish up by praying some prayers to our blessed Lord and his sacred heart in reparation for the sins and heresies going on. You find it here. It will end with the consecration prayer. There we go. Act of reparation by His Holiness Pius XI. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. O sweet Jesus, whose overflowing charity for men is requited by so much forgetfulness, negligence, and contempt. Behold us prostrate before thy altar, eager to repair by special act of homage the cruel indifference and injuries to which thy loving heart is everywhere subject. Mindful, alas, that we ourselves have had a share in such great indignities, which we now deplore from the depths of our hearts, we humbly ask thy pardon and declare our readiness to atone by voluntary expiation, not only for our own personal offenses, but also for the sins of those who, straying far from the path of salvation, refuse in their obstinate infidelity to follow thee, their shepherd and leader, or renouncing the vows of their baptism, have cast off the sweet yoke of thy law. We now resolve to expiate each and every deplorable outrage committed against thee. We are determined to make amends for the manifold offenses against Christian modesty and unbecoming dress and behavior, for all the foul seductions laid to ensnare the feet of the innocent, for the frequent violations of Sundays and holidays, and the shocking blasphemies uttered against thee and thy saints. We wish also to make amends for the insults to which thy vicar on earth and thy priests are subjected, for the profanations, the conscious neglect and terrible acts of sacrilege, of the very sacrament of thy divine love, and lastly, for the public crimes of nations, resist the rights of the teaching authority of the Church, which thou hast founded. Would a divine Jesus, we were able to wash away such abominations with our blood, we now offer in reparation for these violations of thy divine honor the satisfaction thou didst make to the Eternal Father on the cross, which thou dost continue to renew daily on our altars. We offer it in union with the acts of the atonement of thy Virgin Mother and all the saints and the pious faithful on earth. And we sincerely promise to make reparation, as far as we can with the help of thy grace, for all the neglect of thy great love, and for the sins we and others have committed in the past. Henceforth we will live a life of unwavering faith, of purity of conduct, a perfect observance of the precepts of the gospel, and especially that of charity. We promise to the best of our powers to prevent others from offending thee, and to bring as many as possible to follow thee. O loving Jesus, through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary,
our model in reparation, dying to receive the voluntary offering we make of this act of expiation, and by the crowning gift of perseverance, keep us faithful unto death in our duty and allegiance we owe to thee, so that we may all one day come to the happy home where thou with the Father and the Holy Ghost liveth and reignest, God, world without end. Amen. Now let us do the prayer of consecration to the Sacred Heart by St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. O Sacred Heart of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Thee I consecrate and offer up my person and my life, my actions, trials, and sufferings, that my entire being may henceforth only be employed in loving, honoring, and glorifying Thee. This is my irrevocable will, to belong entirely to Thee, and to do all for Thy love, renouncing with my whole heart all that can displease Thee. I take Thee, O Sacred Heart, for the sole object of my love, the protection of my life, the pledge of my salvation, the remedy of my frailty and consistency, the reparation for all the defects of my life, and my secure refuge at the hour of my death. I fear all from my own weakness and malice, but placing my entire confidence in Thee, O Heart of Love, I hope for all Thine infinite goodness, annihilate in me all that can displease or resist Thee. Imprint Thy pure love so deeply in my heart that I may never forget Thee or be separated from Thee. I beseech Thee, through Thine infinite goodness, grant that my name be engraved on Thy heart, for in this place all my happiness and all my glory, to live and to die as one of Thy devoted servants. Amen. St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, pray for us at Ordo Militaris Catholicus, and pray for all of us who are members of very Catholic Key. Amen. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Before we sign off, I want to make a mention that we need you to join us at Ordo Militaris to help protect Christians worldwide. We don't have any government funding. This way we can remain 100% Catholic and do our work for Christ. So please go to ordo-militaris.us. There, join us. We're making a pledge donation, either recurring monthly donation or a one-time donation. And also, if you're investors, consider investing with Ordo Militaris. Sure, we all, the stock market will have some good days. Well, we've seen a bad day, didn't we? So, privately invest with Ordo Militaris. Help us to protect Christians. Well, this is Ordo Militaris Radio, signing off. Deus vult.